Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who realize that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, even counterproductive, I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us, toll-free, 877-300-7645. One of the commercials played to support the Salem Radio News was that prayer is a powerful weapon. It's to tout some new movie. Prayer is a waste of time, particularly if you are a Christian. In fact, if you're a Christian, it is counterproductive. Not only is it not helping you, it's actually hurting you. And this idea that you're going to somehow convince God to do what only He can do is absurd. Why would somebody who has no clue who he is, doesn't know his name, not only discounts his Torah, but actually besmirches it, doesn't attend any one of his seven annual meetings to be called out and to get together for the purpose of reading and reciting his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, speaking of that, Teruah will begin on Monday evening and go through Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday we will speak of Teruah. Someone who it was so, think about Christians, they're so disenchanted with, so adverse to Yahweh's covenant that they called it an old one so that they could create a new one that was entirely different. Now, if you're creating a new one because you don't like his old one and that you established different rules for his new one because you didn't like the rules for the old one, why do you think that such a God is going to listen to what you have to say? You don't like what he has to say? What on earth would cause a religious idiot to think that when they don't like what he has to say, rejecting his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, preferring instead their Pauline New Testament, that God somehow is going to be interested in what they have to say? And that God's going to go off on some kind of a war footing, using weapons at his disposal, to do something that someone who hasn't a clue who he is or what he wants has asked him to do. I mean, Christianity is so lost. I'm surprised that there is one iota of intelligence in that entire community.
Well, they're not the only ones that pray. So,
the difference is that they think they're they've been told that their God is the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, that their God answers prayer, and the fact is he doesn't. You know, and yes, I know that Muslims pray, but Muslims don't pray in the same way. That's not how a Muslim prays. A Muslim prayer is a ritual ordeal. They simply bow down in a ritualistic fashion, and they utter a ritual chant to a ritual caller. And in Judaism, prayer is the same thing. It's from rote memory, chanting a rabbinic prayer. You know, the religion that makes requests of God is Christianity. You know, that Judaism doesn't make requests of God. They state the prayers of rabbis, and Muslims don't make requests of God, of their God. No, it's Christianity. Oh, my. Turning, though, to the other religions that pray. Dozens of Syrian government troops and Islamic State fighters have been killed in fighting around a government-held airbase in eastern Syria, in a region that is the stronghold for the jihadists. The Islamic State used at least two car bombs in its latest assault on the airbase near the city of Deir al-Zor, where government troops are holed up, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said. So we're just doing a swell job, aren't we, of deterring the Islamic State. Yeah, America, most powerful military the world has ever known, goes to war against the Islamic State, and what happens? The Islamic State grows in numbers, grows in capability, expands its territory. Maybe we aren't playing this game intelligently. Now, what's also interesting is that while that was happening, yesterday we read that Syrian rebels linked to al-Qaeda, now that would be al-Nusra, have seized control of a key air base in northwestern Idlib province after a long battle. They're coordinating their attacks. And, by the way, to say something is linked to al-Qaeda today is like saying that it's linked to the Whig Party, that it's linked to the Anabaptist, that it's linked to Sparta, like it's linked to the Philistines. Al-Qaeda doesn't exist anymore. It only existed for a very brief period of time when America was using it, funding it, and arming it to work with the Taliban to fight a proxy war against the Russians in Afghanistan, and for a short time thereafter when America snubbed its ambition to push Saddam Hussein, its enemy, out of Kuwait. But for that period of time from the late 1970s, really the 1980s and 1990s, maybe 4 or 5 years, maybe at the extreme into the 2000s, so a period of 25 years, al-Qaeda existed, having been conceived by, funded by, armed by the United States, and then had its nose tweaked by the United States. It is meaningless now. I mean, if there is one person associated with the Islamic State, it's an old, decrepit doctor, an Egyptian doctor. That's it. So linking something to the to al-Qaeda is like saying, I'm clueless as to what has happened in the world over the last decade. Al-Qaeda for the last decade has been irrelevant. So why not just say that the terrorist group that attacked and actually took over the Syrian airbase day before yesterday was linked to Islam? It was the Abu al-Daur airbase that was under siege for nearly 2 years by al-Nusra and was captured, who has captured most of the province. This says the militants, the Islamic jihadists behind the attack, are believed to be in a coalition of Islamist rebels, including al-Nusra. Since March, rebels have seized a number of cities in the province, including Idlib and Shughour. In late August, these jihadists used suicide attacks to seize the entrance into the airbase and several positions on its outskirts. So here, the United States is in an enormous pickle here, one of our own creation. We're saying that we want to oust Assad, and yet we say that we want to rid the Syrian countryside of both al-Nusra and the Islamic State, and that we are at war with al-Nusra and the Islamic State, and yet who is Assad fighting?
There's a 99.99999% chance we choose wrong here.
Oh, you know, we're saying that we're opposed to Assad and he has to go, and yet we're fighting the very people who are taking the battle to him. It's just, I mean, you couldn't, if you created a movie with this script, you couldn't get a producer. No one would fund it. You say, are you nuts? I mean, come on. How can a country with the largest military in the world, how can a country with the most universities in the world produce such morons and deploy their military so counterproductively? No, it's not even credible.
Well, I'm still working on my Texas bike shooting movie, but I'll get to work on this one, too.
Okay, this is great. The report on Syrian TV conceded that the government troops had evacuated their positions and moved. With the fall of another airbase, the Syrian military has been completely driven out of what was the second largest province in Syria, the Idlib province, according to the British Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. The insurgents, now, the Islamic jihadists, control nearly all of the province except for the predominantly Shia village of Fura and Kafia, which are held by pro-government militia. All right. You know, quite some time ago, I said that the purpose of the al-Nusra was to go after Assad. They wanted Assad gone so they could establish a Sunni Islamic state in Syria. They're continuing to make progress towards that goal. The purpose of the Islamic State was to go after and kill Shias, but primarily their principal goal was to protect Sunnis from Shias. So what I said was that if you want to know what the Islamic State is going to do, all you have to recognize is they were born out of the Awakening program, whereby they used American weapons to confront the Shia assault that was being perpetrated on them because America had provided a massive army to Shiite Iraqis. And the Shiite Iraqis were using it against Sunni civilians to slaughter them. So the Islamic State in Iraq emerged as a means to counter that attack and to protect Sunni Muslims from the Shia Muslims. Now, both sides were deploying American weapons. So all we had to do is to look at the principally Sunni cities and regions of Syria and Iraq to know where the Islamic State was going to go. That's where they were going to build their base because their principal goal was to protect Sunni Muslims from Shia now that America had unleashed the wrath of Shia Islam. Now, they will go after Shia Muslims, but principally their goal is to rid Shia Muslims of Sunni Muslim territories. And that's why al-Nusra has just ignored these two Shia areas. Realizing this, which I swear our military hasn't a clue, our politicians don't have a clue, our diplomats don't have a clue as to where the Islamic State and al-Nusra are going to go and where they're not going to go. Recognizing that al-Nusra's entire existence is based on removing Assad and his Shiite backers from power, and that the entire existence of the Islamic State was to protect Sunni Muslims against Shia Muslims and ultimately to take the battle to Shia Muslims once the Sunni caliphate was properly established. That under that basis, this American threat that Baghdad was going to be the next domino to fall, that after Mosul and Fallujah fell to the Islamic State, that the next thing that we would be witnessing would be the fall of Baghdad. I said, no. It would be suicide for the Islamic State. They're not going to do that. They cannot occupy Baghdad. Even if they were to take it, they would ultimately be repulsed. They can't prevail in a prominently Shia area. They won't have enough support. And so while they could rout the Shia militias and the American-backed Shia military in Baghdad, and they could confiscate the weapons and gain some kudos for having carried out an attack that would be so brazen, they cannot occupy it. And they won't, and they have no intention to do so. I mean, essentially now, you've got the Shiite areas of Iraq are West Iran. They're Iran West. Might as well just stop calling them Iraq and refer to them as Iran. And the central areas of Iraq, the western Iraq, and all of Syria, with exception of the city-state of Damascus, well, they are all part of the Islamic State. Let's just refer to them as that. Syria no longer exists. It's gone. So that's the reality as we see it, and therefore the logical thing for the Sunnis to do is to continue to attack places where they can rid the communities of a minority Shia population and establish themselves in a very controlling way. That is what they do. That's what we should expect from them. Now, if you want to go beyond all of that, Scott asked the question, what's the difference between Sunni and Shia Islam? And my answer is, what's the difference between Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholicism in terms of Christianity? Who's in control? That's it. The difference between Sunni and Shia Islam is who's in control. The Quran is the same. The four hadith collections compiled within 200 years of Muhammad's life are the same. As a matter of fact, the Quran was first written under the influence of Shia Islam. All four of the hadith collections were written under the influence of Shia Islam. I mean, this is the reality of that situation. Shia, even though Sunni Islam is equated with Salafists, the fundamentalists who pay attention to the hadith, and Sunnah speaks of Muhammad's example, which is only chronicled in the hadith. The hadith were written under the influence of Shia Islam. In terms of practice, they have one holiday that's different, Ashura Day, which Muhammad himself practiced. But other than that, it's just who's in charge. Yeah, all of this fight to the death is who's in charge. So the reality on the ground now is that this is a devastating blow for Assad. It's why the Russians have finally engaged in Syria. Assad is an ally of Russia. Well, not really an ally, but he's a customer of Russia because the Iranians are serious allies and customers of Russia. So to help Assad retain control of his few remaining air bases, the Russians have entered the fray. But the reality is that the entire country outside of a couple of pockets of Shia Muslims, a couple of towns like cities like Damascus is under the control of one of the two Islamic fundamentalist terrorist organizations. This region is now under the control of the Islamist coalition dubbed the Army of Victory, which includes, this says, Al-Qaeda's Syrian affiliate, which is just to say, I am so stupid, I can't think, so I don't know what I'm doing, and you shouldn't pay any attention to me, the al-Nusra Front. The coalition's success has come both from uniting a variety of rebel militias into a single fighting force, because they're all Muslims, and the rapprochement of sorts between their main backers, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, which have allowed a new influx of cash and weapons. But let's just pretend for a moment that since the al-Nusra Front is endorsed by Zawahiri, that they are al-Qaeda. Let's just pretend for a moment. That's what everybody wants you to believe anyway. So one of the key players is al-Qaeda then. In Syria. Well, isn't America at war with al-Qaeda? The other key player is the Islamic State. Well, isn't America at war with the Islamic State? And the other key player is the Syrian government, which the United States wanted, the abominator wanted to go bomb him. He wanted to go bomb him into the Stone Age. So, isn't America at war with the Syrian government? Who does that leave us with? The only other influence would be the Shiite militias mentioned here, which is Hezbollah, which are like the Marines are to the U.S., they are the Marines of Iran. If America doesn't know it, Iran wants America destroyed. And given the opportunity, would absolutely destroy the United States. Those are the players there. And this utter stupidity of the United States, when we were trying to, and you know, this was Senator John McClown was a leader in this, trying to arm the Sunni rebels to go fight Assad because he wanted Assad gone. And I just kept on saying that Assad's bad. I'm going to make no excuses for him. Al-Assad is a horrible dictator. But all of the parties that oppose him are worse. Every single one of them. I'm watching a video here with the State Department, and it's got Colin Powell. Can you imagine anybody interviewing Colin Powell and think that he has something worthwhile to say after he lied to the United Nations to falsely convey the myth that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction so that America could justify the invasion of Iraq? And you just think of all of the hell that has taken place since he promoted that lie. This civil war, this tsunami of Muslims into Europe, hundreds of thousands dead, the world on the cusp of World War III, all because Colin Powell lied on behalf of George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice. Just think of that. And somebody would interview him today like this man has something worthwhile to say. You know what the report was? Is that intelligence agencies are saying that the U.S. military and U.S. politicians are constantly changing their assessments of the Islamic State to create the impression that the Islamic State is being weakened. And here on this program, maybe this is the only place in America where you're hearing someone tell you no. The Islamic State is being strengthened by America's attacks on it. And that these reports that America has killed tens of thousands of them in its bombing raids, and that it has them on the run, and that it will prevail against the Islamic State are absolute nonsense. And the intelligence community in the United States is saying the same things. Dozens of intelligence analysts working at the U.S. Military Central Command have complained that their reports on ISIS and the Nusra Front in Syria were inappropriately altered by senior officials, according to a published report. The Daily Beast reported late Wednesday that more than 50 analysts had supported a complaint to the Pentagon that these reports had been changed to make the terror groups seem weaker than the analysts believe they really are. Isn't that amazing? The assessments in question are prepared for several U.S. policymakers, including the President Obaminator. We're lying to ourselves. Garbage in, garbage out. But here you have nothing but enemies. And I kept on saying that as bad as Assad is, the Islamic State is worse. And before the Islamic State, al-Nusra was worse. And now that we have both of them, they're both worse. And both of them are no better than the influence of Iran and its Hezbollah militias. All three of those other options are vastly worse than Assad. And you'd think that after screwing up Iraq and eliminating the best dictator in the Islamic world, a beast of a man he was for certain, but he was still the best dictator in the Islamic world, and that by eliminating him and getting a Shiite government controlled by Iran, that immediately went to the task of murdering Sunni Iraqis en masse, that we would have learned that the current Syria-Iraq is a direct result of us being myopic and saying, well, that guy's a bad guy, we ought to get rid of him, not thinking of, well, who's going to replace him? And what are the odds that whoever replaces him is going to be vastly worse? And that's exactly what we found. That's exactly what we found when we encouraged the Egyptians to rise up against Mubarak. This is the reality, and we don't seem to be able to learn anything. It's exactly what we did in Libya, where we blamed Gaddafi, who was a disgusting syphilitic, and so we bombed him into submission, not able to realize, not John McClown, not the Abominator, that the Islamic forces that fill that vacuum of power will be vastly worse than he was. And here we are at it again. And Assad's about gone. In fact, the Russians are so concerned, the Russians are actually sending troops in. And the United States has the gall to criticize the Russians for doing so. Here, America has troops in Syria. Here, America is running 20, 30, 40, 50 bombing runs a day over Syria. America's into Syria up to its eyeballs. And it's always been a Russian client. And yet we had no problem attacking Syria. And when the Russians go in to defend their ally and to support their ally, we're having a conniption fit. Good God, we've got no clue. Pure hypocrites is what America has become. What a farce. This article says there are strains, though, within the rebel coalition over the role of the al-Nusra Front. And even though President Assad faces increasing pressure because the al-Nusra Front is receiving boatloads, just insane amounts of weapons from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from Qatar, all funneled indirectly by the United States. And they are as fundamentalist as they come. They are as similar to, you know, al-Qaeda's view of Islam as you could be. And they're now carrying out coordinated attacks with the Islamic State. So it says that on a variety of fronts, he can take comfort in the fact that the region he has lost are held by different groups, and that for now are at least opposed to one another as they are opposed to him. That's not true. That just is not true. The Islamic State and al-Nusra have come to an agreement. And the agreement is, we're both Sunni Muslim, we're both jihadist organizations, we're not going to fight each other. They haven't fought each other in a very long time, probably a year. There's areas where you have strength. There's areas where we have strength. Let's work together, not in opposition to each other. And there was a point in time where al-Nusra almost ceased to exist because all of its leaders, all of its jihadists, went with the Islamic State. And the Islamic State says, you know, maybe we're better off, you know, keeping them as an independent group. And so they've done so. This says the fighting began with anti-government protests, but has since descended into a civil war after the regime cracked down on dissent. That is absolutely poppycock. This began because the Obamanator spurred on fundamentalist Muslims, telling them it was their time, that America was not at war with them. Never had been, never would be. He lied. And then after the Islamic Reformation that swept throughout the Islamic world, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, that after that fundamentalist Islamic Reformation took root and became a wildfire, the United States created the environment for which this war would be fought. It not only supplied weapons to weaponize the conflict when the peaceful protests of unarmed civilians turned into a belligerent fight, just as America had done in Libya through Qatar. But it also created the environment by providing arms to Sunni warlords that were high up in Saddam Hussein's regime through the Awakening Program, and then armed the Shiite Muslims. They began to kill one another, and this fight just spilled over out of Iraq into Syria. That's what caused it. If we don't know what caused it, we certainly are going to continue to make it worse. This reads, the conflict has now evolved into a complex multi-front battle involving rebels, jihadists. There are no rebels apart from the jihadists. The regime, which is the Syrian government, the Kurds, and a U.S.-led coalition that is carrying out airstrikes against the Islamic State. So enter the fray the Russians, whom America, the Abominator, resetting relations with Russia, has so badgered, so maligned, so inappropriately dealt with that the Russians say, you know, the hell with the United States. You know, if the United States wants to deal with Ukraine, we're going to build a huge military base right on the border. That's, we'll counter America's influence in Ukraine. Might lead to World War III, but so be it.
So I guess they're not going to say we were well-behaved?
No, they're not going to say we were well-behaved. And then on top of all that, you've got the same group of idiots telling the Russians, who have had a many decades-long relationship with Syria, that, nope, they can't engage in Syria, but the United States, who has had no relationships with Syria, can engage fighting there. The Russians are just saying, you know, we're going to confront the United States on every front. We've no reason not to. Our interests and their interests are the opposite. The source is speaking to Reuters on condition of anonymity, said that Moscow has sent their Marines into Syria. That two U.S. officials said Russia has sent two tank landing ships and aircraft into Syria. This multi-sided civil war. It's not a multi-sided civil war. I mean, good grief. The Kurds aren't involved in the civil war. They just want to be left alone. They've opted out. The Kurds are involved because the Americans have armed the Kurds, because the Kurds were taking the battle to the Islamic State. And I told everyone who would listen, they're not going to use those weapons against the Islamic State. And they didn't. They're just going to make a show of it so they get more American weapons. They want to use their weapons against the Turks so they can get their own homeland. And what have the Turks done? They've started bombing them with reckless abandon. This war is a single-issue war. It's Sunni via Shia Islam. There's nothing more to it than that. Sunni via Shia Islam. And it's amazing that no one in the media seems to understand it. They say that 250,000 people have been killed, and half of Syria's 23 million people have been driven from their homes. So the number that I gave, based upon the United Nations reports, that there were 8 million refugees, and that's how many would now find their way into Europe and the United States because of the stupidity of no one in Europe or the United States being able to simply say, no, you know, you're killing us. You're terrorists. We've been fighting you over there to keep you over there so you don't kill us here. We're not going to import 8 million of you. I was wrong. At least if this assessment is right, there are nearly 12 million of them. That's as we count right now. But the United States is still engaged, as is Europe, in the same stupid behavior that is turning this region into a refugee manufacturing facility. This is the story that I alluded to in terms of America's hypocritical response. Washington, as the Dateline CNN, America's top diplomat, that would be the Kerryinator, called his Russian counterpart Wednesday to warn Moscow's military, to warn Moscow that its military buildup in troops in Syria could escalate the bloody conflict that has engulfed the region. Good grief, we are, oh God, darn. I mean, it's just amazing. Takes your breath away. How hypocritical America can be. America is bombing Syria every day. America sends in troops to go kidnap and kill Syrians. We send our drones in to kill Syrians. We're providing the weapons on both sides.
And on that drone part, we don't even know if we're actually hitting the target we intend to hit.
Oh, of course.
We're just blowing up neighborhoods.
We are. And now we're saying that, Russia could escalate the problem by them engaging? How long has Russia been a military hardware supplier of Syria? Well, longer than America has been a military supplier to Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Now, if Russia were to start bombing Qatar and Saudi Arabia, with America viewing them as their elite customer for military hardware, we'd have a conniption fit. And yet that's what we did to Syria. And now when the Russians say, you know, we don't want to lose our customer, and at this point, it's over. What America has done has exacerbated the problem, just as I predicted, and that all that's left now is a city-state around Damascus. If we don't come to the aid of our customer, we're going to lose them as a customer. So Russia is supplying them with ever more equipment and trainers, just as America has been doing for the other side. Now what, Obaminator? You know, I wondered how a third of the world's population, one quarter and then one third, dies in the Magog War. Because the Magog War is ostensibly Team Islam against Israel. So how in the world do you get to one quarter and then a third of what's left, ultimately half the world's population dying? The only way you do is that the Islamic assault against Israel has to mushroom, has to have allies on one side that are superpowers and allies on the other side that are superpower. So what did the Obaminator do? He made an enemy of Russia. He attacked Russia's customer. And so we now have Russia. And, of course, what did the Obaminator do in the Pacific? He pivoted all of America's defense capability against the Chinese. So you've got the Chinese and the Russians backing Shia Islam. The United States via Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait backing Sunni Islam. Can you say World War III?